Okay, we ready? Here we go. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 11 verses 25 and 26. Here we go again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 11 verses 25 and 26.
Okay, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have of being together here with you today. And we pray, Lord, that you would be in charge of every word that's said, that your hand would be in the midst of all of this. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a little thing that I wanted to say. I am going to be going into John chapter 10, and I'm going to be saying some things on John chapter 10, but I do want to say this. The last time we were together, Kathy Craig taught a great lesson on chapter 10. The fact that I'm going to go over some of it is no reflection on her teaching. I want you all to know that. It doesn't have anything to do with how well she taught. She taught very well. But there were some issues that the Lord pointed out to me in the area of listening to the shepherd. And it was so heavy on my heart that I just wanted to, have some time to talk about that. And so the Lord has really laid that on my heart of our listening to him and how we listen. And also, it goes into chapter 11 on how we listen. How do we pay attention to the Lord? What do we do with his voice? And so this lesson carries over into chapter 11. Let's look at, in chapter 10, we're going to go to verse 2 through 5. And so, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Go up to verse 7, and Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves, runs the sheep and leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling, and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, because they're listening for the shepherd, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So as I was looking at that and how the sheep look for the what the shepherd is saying and pays attention to his voice, we found this little video, and we're just going to show this little video. Now, I don't know if you're listening or are watching online. I don't know if you can at least get the audio of it, but I think you can't get the video. Is that correct? Am I correct on that? I don't know. But and if that doesn't happen, those who are online, we'll be right back. Okay? So would Matt, could you please run that? All right. So did you notice when the first one was up there, there was a little lamb out there? He went, yeah, no. So they listened for a voice, and they went, oh, I don't recognize that voice. So they went back to what they were doing. But it didn't take them long. As soon as he was, the farmer was, or the shepherd was, calling them, that they went running. And that's the way that it is when we hear the Good Shepherd. That's how we hear the Good Shepherd. We hear him because we recognize his voice. We are used to listening to him. We will be fooled if we're not used to listening to him. We will be fooled, and we will go in a different direction if we're not listening for the voice of the Lord, of the Good Shepherd. And so with all of that, I just being used to hearing the word of the Lord. Now, when we move into chapter 11, we're going to look at how some of them heard from the Lord, heard from the Good Shepherd. And we're going to see one in particular who had to pay attention to the voice of the shepherd if he was going to be brought back to life. So here we are in chapter 11. It says a certain man was sick. We know that his name was Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And in verse 2, it says, it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Why does he bring attention to this? Why do you think he brings attention to this? I believe, and I wouldn't be surprised, if the account that is in chapter 7 of Luke at verse 36 through 38 is the same Mary. It's an unnamed woman. And it says, at Capernaum, at the Pharisee's house, and behold, a woman in the city was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet before him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. This is what I think. And every time I say that, I hear Romaine saying, nobody cares what you think. He wants to know what the Bible says. But I would not be surprised to find that Mary was that woman who was in Capernaum on that day, that she had gone out. We have no mention of father or mother there in Bethany. We have Mary and Martha and Lazarus all living together, but no mention of the parents. So I just wonder if perhaps Mary had gone off on her own and just, you know, trying to find herself or whatever, and that she was that woman that was there, and then after that time went back home, went back to Bethany. I don't know. I just think it's a very interesting thing. And then we're going to see in chapter 12, we're going to go right into her doing it once more. And so as we go through these chapters, just kind of thinking about how our lives haven't evolved. The Lord has shown us. It's like that puzzle piece again. You know, does this one fit here? No, it doesn't fit there. No, I don't fit there. No, I don't fit there. I fit right where Jesus has me going. And I don't know where Jesus wants me unless I get used to hearing his voice and find out what he has to say to me. So I have to pay attention in my prayer time for that. And so he was sick, and verse 3, therefore the sisters sent to him, and when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. That sentence makes no sense. It makes no sense, but it does make sense when you go, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going on. So what doesn't make sense is to them is that because he loved them, he stayed for 2 days. Why? So that they would be brought to Jesus. So that many would be brought to Jesus, because he knew what was going to happen in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Therefore, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I want to say to you, Lazarus died right after the runner left. I believe that Lazarus died right after the runner left. It would take him approximately 9 hours walking or running to get to where Jesus was. He would have, so that would have taken the good portion of the day. And as he was going there, that took up the whole day. So then Jesus finds out about it, and then he stays for 2 days. And then I would say on the 4th day is when he made his trip to where Lazarus was, to Bethany. And that would have taken them 9 hours to get there. So he probably arrived somewhere in the early evening or late afternoon. And that would be the 4th day. So that's how that all ties together. It was about 20 miles difference in where they were at. And so Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, okay, fine, we'll just die with him. Come on, guys. Come on. We're going to die with him too. That's what we signed up for, isn't it? Yeah, okay, let's go. Thomas, I love Thomas. He's such a great guy. And so, Jesus was on the other side of the Jordan, so I should probably try to stick with my notes. I already explained to you about the days. And so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, and Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Mary had not been notified that Jesus was there. That's why she was still in the house. It says that Martha, as soon as she heard, she ran out. She didn't stop to tell him. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that. I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Can you see her? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die physically, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And I have to ask myself the question, do I believe this? And God is asking us the question, do I believe this? And then she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world, and I can tell that you're not going to talk to me anymore. So I'm going to just take off, and I'm going to go tell Mary that you're here, because we all know you want to see Mary. You know, so I want to look at how Martha listened. How did Martha listen to the shepherd? She went to him right away. She told him her feelings. But Martha listened with the next thing on her mind that she was going to say. Do you know anybody like that? That when someone's talking to them or they're talking to you, maybe you're that person, and you're putting together what you're going to say to what they've said. You already had your speech ready. She had come to him with that agenda. She had an agenda. And she said, let me tell you what would have happened if you hadn't dilly-dallied around. Let me tell you, I know. And finally she says, well, whatever. And she went to tell Mary that he was here. And so when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Now, there's no indication. We don't have that recorded. So the Bible is silent on it. So we'll just believe that she believed that he was calling for her. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. So as soon as she heard, she, like Martha, went directly to him, and she went immediately out to meet him. But Mary listened to the shepherd in a very different way. She immediately went out to meet him. She told him how she felt, but she told him while she was weeping. She told him while she was weeping. The attitude in the way that she came to the Savior. The attitude in the way that we listen to what the shepherd has to say to us. You notice that there's no indication that Jesus said anything to her like he did with Martha. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and he was troubled. About what? Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Jesus was fulfilling his own words, and he said, where have you laid him? You notice he doesn't say anything to Mary. He just weeps with her. Sometimes we just have to be with a friend and just sit and cry with them. We don't need to try to explain what just happened in their life. We just need to be there. Come alongside them. Encourage them to just trust Jesus in the middle of it. Just trust. That's all that we can say. And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept once again. And then the Jews see how he loved him. Maybe that's why he was crying, because of his love for him. But I think he was also crying over what he was going to be taking Lazarus out of. I don't know. But he said that he was coming with purpose, and he was coming for the glory of the Father. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? And then Jesus again is going, oh, you guys, oy vey, what am I going to do here with you guys? He came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And what happens? Here's Martha again. She's arguing with him. He stinketh, to put old King James. He's gonna stink. You can't, Jesus, you can't do that. You can't ask us to do that. It's gonna smell so bad. Do you ever argue with the Lord when he tells you to do something? I have. And I finally do it. And he says, now was that so hard? Yes, it was. It was. It was. But just going in the direction that the Lord. So Martha argues with him. And she said, "He, it's going to smell really bad if you do that. So, but the person, I said about the what Jesus might have been weeping over, the fact that he was bringing Lazarus back from, I mean, we all know the rest of the story. So we know that he was bringing Lazarus back. And do you think he was grieving over the fact of where he had to bring Lazarus back from? Because Lazarus fulfilled the scripture. Lazarus did, but more importantly, what I was going to say is, for the person passing, it is a joyous time of rejoicing. We weep because of our loss. We weep because we're not going to see them here anymore. We weep because we have lost out on something or someone. But they, if they are a believer, they are standing before the Lord. It brings to my mind, I know most of you probably know by now, Sharon Reese, Raul Reese's wife, went to be with the Lord a few days ago. She was an amazing woman, amazing, who loved the Lord. She was missions-minded. She spent a lot of time down in Chile. She was a missionary's daughter, and that missionary heart was always in her. When she talked to us as pastors' wives, she always encouraged us to have a missionary heart. Remember, everyone needs to come to Jesus. Everyone, and do whatever you can to come to Jesus. And so the way that Raul is writing and the family is writing, they are rejoicing for Sharon. And they're not even saying, we grieve because of our loss. They're saying, we're going to see her again. And it probably isn't going to be long. And so they can rejoice in that. And it truly fulfills Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. And so here he is, and that's what they were weeping over. So Jesus gives that direction. Martha argues with him. And so they go ahead and do it. In verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? I've already told you that if you would believe, what does the word believe mean? Trust in, rely on, cling to, adhere to. If you will believe, you would see the glory of God. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And I wonder, this is something I wonder, and there is no answer to it. Did it stink? Honestly, Was there an odor that came from there? Death had been there, but it was about to be life. So I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's not worth arguing over it, but I just wonder. I just wonder about things like that. And so they took it, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." He is praying out loud so that the people will believe. You know, Jesus always went away to pray on his own. He spent time alone with God. But so that the people might believe, he had to say it out loud for them to hear. They had to hear the word of the Lord. They had to listen for the shepherd's voice. They had to pay attention to him. Now, when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And as he said that, that little sheep Lazarus was listening for the shepherd's voice. And you see him hopping out. And he would have to hop out because his feet would be all bound together. His face is covered. I don't know if he even went through toward the door. You know, here he is hopping out. And right away, even for Lazarus, he listened to the shepherd's voice because he was used to hearing Jesus' voice. He was used to hearing the voice of the shepherd. We need to be used to hearing the voice of our shepherd. Lazarus listened and obeyed. He listened and he obeyed. But Lazarus will physically die again at a later time. But that's okay. All this was done for the glory of God, just like Jesus said earlier to his disciples and later to Martha, that her brother would rise again. And here again, in his prayer to the Father, he says the same thing. And so in verse 44, he told them to loose him and let him go. And so now they're listening. Now they're paying attention. They're running over to Lazarus. They're probably frozen in their wherever they're standing. Do you think they had words to say? I don't know. But they saw the glory of the Lord in that. That he is a life giver. And because of that, they ran over to him and they loosed him. They're paying attention to him. And then verse 45 says, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed in him. Many believed in him, but some went and tattled. Some went into the high priest and let them, the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they gathered together a council, verse 46. What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. If we leave him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. Everyone will believe in him. That is more faith than most of us have. They're saying everybody will believe in Jesus. Do I believe that? I think that there are people who probably never will believe in Jesus. But here we have the priest saying, if we leave him alone to say what we have to say, that's why we tell people about Jesus, so that they can come to know him. Because I do now believe that all would come to him if I would get out of the way. If some of us would get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do the work, say what we need to say, pray what we need to pray, and let the Holy Spirit do the work. And what their concern was their loss. They weren't really concerned about everybody coming to Jesus. They were concerned about their loss. And if everybody believes in him, the Romans will come and they'll take away both our place and our nation. We'll be without anything. And one of them, Caiaphas, verse 49, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish." Now, this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Caiaphas unwittingly prophesied. He didn't realize he was prophesying. He didn't know that this was the Messiah. He didn't know that this was the sacrificial lamb that would come before him. He would die for the sins of all the world. He had no idea that he was preaching the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to be the sacrifice of all of the sins of all of the world. Then from that day on, they plotted to kill him, to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim. And I think Ephraim is probably, you have maps that show Ephraim, right? In your, I don't know, I didn't look. Sorry. And there remained with his disciples. But the Passover was near. And many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. "What do you think? That he will not come to the feast? Do you think he's not going to fulfill what he's supposed to fulfill as a Jew?" Now both the priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it that they might seize him. And so they sought to kill Jesus. So he took a little trip to Ephraim with his disciples. And the Passover was near. And they're looking for Jesus in the midst of it. But Jesus could not be seen until chapter 12. Because God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always right. Let me ask you, how do you hear the shepherd's voice? Sometimes you'll hear him calling to you to worship him in song with a thankful heart. Sometimes you'll hear him calling you to come away, my beloved, for some quiet time with just the two of you. Sometimes you'll hear him calling you to come and pray and seek my face. Sometimes you will hear him calling you, confess your sin. Sometimes you'll hear him calling you to lay down something, to let it go, and see the salvation of the Lord. Jesus is calling you right now. Answer him as quickly as you answer your cell phone. Let that sink in. How often do we, oh, the light came on, somebody wants me. Let's answer the Lord as quickly as we answer our cell phone. Or let's give our attention to him as quickly as we give our attention to the cell phone. Maybe we don't answer it right away. But, oh, we got to see who it is, just in case, you know, the note is not going to be there later. Let's do that for the Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. So let's stay close. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. for your grace that you pour out on us all the time. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of the needs according to your riches and glory. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We give you honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I will see you guys next week.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.